Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
We are rolling. And, you know, I just had to make that little joke. We are rolling with Roland Bercy Jr. He is our author guest for tonight, and not just horror, but extreme horror.
Yeah. Yes.
Chantel is on with us also. She is Chantel, where are you?
I'm in the parking lot of the Regal Cinema going to see Evil Dead in about an hour.
Oh, you're so lucky.
We just saw it.
We saw it together.
A few nights ago.
Oh, you're going to see it again?
Yeah, I had already planned, well, sort of. I my friends all wanted to go when it came out. Mm-hmm. And then I got surprised because remember we were going to have you on. And then Dicey's like, oh, I got us tickets. And I was like, what? I didn't even know. So then I was like, well, I'd already promised them. So when they started getting their tickets, I was like, it's cool. I'm going to go still. Like, I don't want to be that friend that's like, nah, I'm going to go see, you know. Plus, I did feel like there were things I could see again in the movie.
Are you going to make like you didn't see it? Or are you going to be like, oh, my God, it's so scary?
I don't know. They know. Okay. And nothing scares me. And anything that was creepy in that movie, which it did have a pretty good few scenes, I just smile. I'm very sadistic.
Oh, no. I love it. Yeah. I actually was hearing somebody say that it was probably one of the best ones so far.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Houston Horror Film Festival did an advanced screening for that. That's how we got those passes. So shout out to Houston Horror Film Festival. Roland, you ever come to that?
You guys are in Houston?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I mean, well, I didn't know if y'all
know.
I'm in Houston too.
Are you? No, I didn't know. I did not know that.
Oh, hell yeah. I got some friends.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
God, that's awesome. Where do y'all live?
I'm northeast, like going towards Crosby.
Uh-huh. And Chantel?
And I'm more towards, like on 249 going up towards, like Willowbrook area.
Oh, yay. That's
and what about you?
You know where Memorial City Mall is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right by Memorial.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
Oh, y'all gonna get sick of me.
No. Dude, you could have been in there with us last night.
I wish I would have known. Was it last night?
Night before.
It was the night before.
Night before.
Okay, night before.
Oh, nice. This is awesome.
All my days run together. Yeah. But if you're not... If you're not already registered or have passes or whatever for the Houston Horror Film Festival, make sure you're there this year.
It's in August. Okay.
11th through the 13th.
That's perfect because I think Texas ArthurCon is the week after that, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we're all going to is in July. This is until July. August.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Okay. Are you guys going to go to Texas ArthurCon then?
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll have a chance to meet you there in Dallas. That's when July 14th through 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Have y'all been to KillerCon in San Antonio?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I would love to go.
No. Well, tell us about it.
Nice. I love it. I'm definitely going to go this year too. I'm trying to make, especially since it's so close, it's like, why not? You know, 2 hours away.
You know what? Is that one that's going on at the same time as the Houston Horror Film Festival?
No.
I don't know. I'll let you guys know the dates for sure.
Okay. Oh, is there one?
Because I think I asked Jay about that one, Chantel, and I think she mentioned that it was going on at the same time or something like that. I was like, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Okay. We're Houston Horror Film Fest girls. We've been with them since the beginning. Our podcast is represented with them. And we love these guys. They're great.
So what is it? I've never been. So is it like, do they do screenings or what is it pretty much?
Well, they do screenings. Dicey would be able to talk more about the screenings than I could because she was able to catch us. I ran around and I did interviews with various people at the convention, from the vendors to the attendees. And then she and I, you know, we split up and she looked at the I think it's all, isn't it all, it's like indie film, right? Right, Dicey?
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, they screen them a lot, screen a lot of short horror films. So like a lot of your short stories that you do, like you would have that in script format, and then they, you know, film it and then it's screened there for, I love it. I always like to see that. For one, I have an interest in actually producing stuff like that, but also because I love to just support, you know, small filmmakers. You know, everybody gets their start somewhere. So I like to support them when they're up and coming.
That's awesome. I'm gonna check it out for sure.
Yeah.
But then Dicey and I have met a lot of celebrities doing their convention too, and we do a lot of interviews with those guys on the podcast.
Yeah. Like, who are some people you guys met?
Well, we just had Ginger Lynn on. I don't know if you know who she is. She does a lot of horror film. Recently, she works a lot with Rob Zombie. Mm-hmm. What, she goes by Ginger Lynn Allen, right, Dicey?
I just know her as Ginger Lynn. I haven't called her by her married name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think her new like kind of actress role, she uses her married name. But Ginger Lynn, you know, she was known best for the 80s, where she was a huge porn star.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay.
So, Texas AuthorCon, is this going to be your first time being there, or have you been there before?
I went last year. So, last year was my first time, because last year was the very first one.
Okay.
So this is going to be second year, and I'm going to be going, and I have a vendor table. It was a lot of fun last year, and it was a big turnout, considering it was a first year event. So I can only imagine this year is going to be double that, if not even better.
And which
that's fantastic.
Which one do you like selling at more, in person or online?
In person. I'm shy until you get to know me. And once I warm up, I'm like, oh, you can't shut me up. So when I went to, where was it? The one that just happened. Oh, Jesus.
Scares at Care?
Scares at Care, yeah. So that was my second time at Scares at Care. The first year I went, I had never had a vendor table. Because when I started writing, I didn't think I would. I just wanted to write one story that I had running around in the back of my head forever. And I was like, ooh, I'm gonna see if I can do this. And so one day I was like, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna get this story out of my head. I did it, and I wrote Unbortion. And then I was like, hey, I can do this.
I'm escaped by Unbortion, because it was the winner of the 2020 American Fiction Awards, and also a finalist of the 2019 International Book Awards. Congrats.
Thank you so much. And that's huge. Like, my first book, I won a freaking award.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. So when I did it, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to do editing. I didn't know how to, not that I edited, because it would be jacked up if I edited. But I didn't know anything about editing. I didn't know cover art. I didn't know how to format it. I didn't know. But I taught myself. And for my first book, learning it all by myself and making it happen, I was like, great, Roland, you did a good job. So, thank you so much. So after that, I was like, I like witches too. I'm going to write a story about witches. So then I wrote Payback as a Witch. And then I started getting invites from other authors to do anthologies and collaborations. And I was like, dang, how did I get from writing one book into actually being a freaking author now? And I'm a pretty well known. I'm not great. I still have a lot to learn, but I'm becoming pretty good. I love it.
Yeah. And like I said a minute ago, everybody starts somewhere, and you've already.
Yeah. I'm so proud of myself. And for me to do
that, it is so great.
53. I'm 53. Oh my God.
What?
Yes.
Dude, will you please tell me what your diet is? Because for, I thought you were in your 20s.
Oh, Lord, those days are long gone. my diet is baby blood. No, let's play.
Trust me, in like In another year, we're gonna be changing the title of this podcast to the Geriatric Sex and the Horror Podcast.
I love it. But yeah, for me to start doing it at 50 something years old, I was like, man, I didn't hope my life and took a change in a direction that I had never expected it, and I couldn't be happier.
That's great.
Thank you.
Well, I'm gonna be picking your brain because I think I'm gonna enter my new book into the Splatterpunk. Splatterpunk.
Do it.
I'm gonna pick your brain on how to do that.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy to help. That's so much fun. And not only that, just the whole the thrill and enjoyment I get from writing the books, and you know, the amount of pride I get from being able to do it, the people I have met, that is in itself a reward, because for people to write the most effed up stuff, the most twisted and crazy and vile stuff, they're the sweetest people in the freaking world.
Yeah. The horror community is really amazing like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. I'm going to tell y'all, as authors, we're getting a little gossipy on our podcast tonight. As authors, some of the most backstabbing mofos are up in that fantasy category.
Oh, I stay out of all that shit. I have absolutely nothing to do with that. If it's not paying my bills, I don't give a fuck about it.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, do you like fantasy? Do you read fantasy, either one of you guys?
Well, I started out writing urban fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's how I started too. I think I started like with fantasy. I don't know if you ever read Witch War by James Clemens. It's so good. I read it a long time ago, and now I'm listening to the audiobooks, but that's how I kind of got my start, is in fantasy also.
You know what? You introduced me to something that I had, or at least the terminology I hadn't heard of before. You didn't know you introduced me to it, but and I'm gonna pronounce it wrong because I don't know French. But tête-bêche.
Oh, so I can barely pronounce it. It's tête-bêche.
Tête-bêche.
Tête-bêche. Yeah. So when I wrote that book, and I was like, because I saw books like that when I was a kid, you know, you read one and then and I was like, okay, so it's tête-bêche. How the fuck am I going to say this word? I practiced before I even started saying it. I was like, tête-bêche. And it was fun. But the formatting was a nightmare.
I imagine.
Oh my God. But
what we're talking about right now, for anybody that's listening and not watching, do you have your book right there with you?
Can you give me 2 seconds to go get one?
Okay, yeah, and I'll explain it while you're doing that.
I'm all right.
Tête-bêche is a book where you read it, you know, you open it up and you read it all the way, and then that story ends and you turn it over, you flip it over, and you read another story on the end. So it's like 2 stories together, 2 novellas or short stories, and they have 2 different covers depending on which end you start at. And so I thought this was brilliant. I love this. And so he's holding up the cover to the book now. I love the cover. So yes, on
it is great.
And it's different. So like this could be the front or the back depending on where you start. So homegrown comeuppance. Yeah. And so that's like a woman. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Okay, so that's like a woman with tentacles wrapped all around her. Those are tentacles, right?
So yeah, the story, I ran down the stairs. Now I'm out of breath. That's a
shame. You're in your 50s.
He's like, wait, I gotta take a bathroom break.
This story is about, it's a cryptid called a Yetivo, which is a carnivorous man-eating tree with tentacles. So that's what this story is about.
Okay, I love it. Then you read that through, and then it flips. After you get to the end, you turn it over, and it starts a whole new story, which is called... a necromantic love story. And so here we have a man holding like a zombie, like in a romantic way, which I love too. I love that cover too.
Awesome. Thank you. So that story is about a necrophiliac, and he learns about this place called a body farm, which is a place where they study bodies in different stages of decomposition. So there's 5 stages. And so when he finds out about it, he's like, oh shit, I got to experience a body in each stage of decomposition. Having sex with. Yes.
You know what? Yeah. I want to read that. You don't know this about me, but speaking of fantasy, but I have a narcoleptic vampire series. Mm-hmm. And it works as a necrophilia specialist in a fetish club. So I've dibbled and dabbled in writing about necrophilia. So I'm really curious about that story and how you treat that character.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was so gross. I had to do, when I was doing research on it, so you know, it's going to pull up pictures. And I was like,
yeah.
And I could talk about it. I could read about it. I can watch it on TV all day long. But when I start seeing actual pictures of people going through it, I'm like, oh man, how am I going to get through this? But yeah. I did.
What was your process for getting through it? Because, you know, you got to kind of be in that headspace to kind of get it out, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just started. Well, it was in a collection with Matt Shaw, because Matt asked me to be in a collection with him and a bunch of other people. It's called Broken Battered Bodies. And I was like, well, it's Matt. I know it's got to be out there. It's got to be like some crazy shit. So I was like, what can I do that is like super over the top? And when I thought about that, I was like, that's it right there. So when I started doing research, I was like, dang, it was the different stages. Like the most extreme stage is liquefaction or active decay. So I was like, there's some good story there. And people have gotten good reviews, and people who read it, they were like, Roland, you're a twisted dude. How did you even come up with it?
Yeah, I love that. You know what? I want an autographed copy of that when I see you at AuthorCon. I want that one. I also like the tech.
We're gonna have to see him before, girl. We're going to see
him. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Before July?
Yes. He's going to come to our we're having a triple book release party. So you got to come.
Oh, please let me know when I'm there. Count me in.
Okay. All right.
I'm just inviting you and making sure you have nothing to do. Even if you have something, you got to cancel it.
I got you. I don't know a lot of people out here for. It's crazy, but I just don't have a lot of friends in Houston. And I think it's because, it's harder to make friends as you get older.
Yeah.
At least decent friends. Yeah.
Well, I think Dicey and I hit the nail on the nose when we said, we just don't want to put up with people's shit. Like,
I'm too old for that.
Yep. Okay, so you were talking about your necrophiliac book and the one thing that actually did pop in my mind while you were talking about that, my cousin now owns her own funeral parlor. So, you know, I'm definitely not encouraging necrophilia, but it would be an interesting exercise as a writer to just stand in a room knowing that there's bodies and you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm a weirdo. I like to experience things, even if it's really uncomfortable or weird, or just like, you know, going to hopefully I'm not being rude to you, but going to like a really big church and standing there with a bunch of church people, you know, anything that makes me uncomfortable. So, doing things. And then when I write, I can put that energy into what I'm writing. So I wondered if you stood in a morgue situation, if you will, if it would change anything you wrote.
It probably would. And actually, the guy in the book works at a morgue. So that's how he started getting into necrophilia. Yeah. I didn't know that. So I was reading about bodies and how they do embalming. And I didn't know that they actually stuffed the anal cavity with, like, I guess, cotton soaked in embalming fluid. And so in the book, the guy can actually hear the bodies talking back to him. So he's actually having conversations with these bodies. And it was fun. So there's one part when he's in the casket with the lady, and he's using KY jelly, or he was about to, but it was still very dry. So then he looks around his knees because he's kneeling in a casket, and there's this brown liquid leaking around his knees, and it's because the anal cavity started leaking again. So he was like, KY jelly, fuck that. So he just scooped up the anal stuff and he put it on his. And then it felt great because the embalming fluid was making the head of this dick tingle. And so then he started fucking her again. So if they check my browser history, people will be like, this boy needs to go to jail.
But you know what? Going back to what we were saying about the horror community being so awesome and how, you know, we could be watching or talking about or looking at the most twisted things and still be the coolest, you know, sweetest. I think that's a part of it. The part is that, like, how we're laughing at this. This is funny to us. It's like, you know, it's ridiculous, but that's kind of the point. We actually are writing or watching or whatever this sort of thing and reading about it because we know it's outrageous. Like, that is the point.
That's right.
And I love it. It gets to take you away to, like, a dark place, but at the same time, like you say, you start laughing about the shit you read. So I love it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm go to probably in this movie tonight, there'll be something that will make me laugh. The first time I watch it, you know, and that's just who we are as horror creators. And I mean, there were people in that theater that were, I mean, anybody that went to see Evil Dead Rise for a preview, you know, they're horror fans, but they were screaming and hollering, weren't they, Dicey?
What?
Oh, I don't remember that because I was laughing.
I do. Yeah. But I could hear other, I mean, some people were laughing, but a lot of people were like, oh my God, ah! You know, and then they would laugh at themselves for doing that, you know? But I mean, it doesn't matter, like, how you react. We enjoy the fear. it scared me. That's awesome, you know?
Yeah. I'm taking my partner this weekend, so I've been with this fool 23 years. He cannot stand gross stuff. So I'm going to be laughing because he's like, I'm good with you, but I'm not gonna watch it. So he'll go and he's like watching it like this. And every time something gross comes, this is gonna sound gross. He has a, because he can't take it, he has to spit when he sees something gross. So he brings a freaking paper towel with him. He's like,
oh my gosh.
And then I get mad. I'm like, you better not leave that here when we leave either. That's fucking nasty.
Look at you.
I'm gonna show you guys. Look at, I'm about to go see that movie. I'm excited again, even though it's already 10. So I'm okay if I miss a couple. If I miss a couple minutes, please, I already seen it. But you know,
well, you know, they got 20 minutes of previews anyway.
Exactly. I'm excited. I like. Actually, what's funny is one of the girls who's going with me tonight is one of my band members, and she screams when she sees stuff that scares her. I'm like, is it bad that I'm just like waiting to see what she does?
It's even better. Like, my sister's the same way. She's a screamer, and I'm constantly trying to scare her when we go to the movies.
Yeah.
And then my dad, if he's sitting next to us, he's like, "Damn, Raquel, really, you have to do all that?" Just scare her again.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Dice, can we move on to the other book?
Well, I want to ask something about this one. One more thing about this one. Because this book, not about the gross necrophilia stuff, more from an author book perspective and sales. So this one, because of the front cover situation, the Tete, you know, the Tate Bish. Okay. You weren't able to put it on Amazon. And so you're selling this either in person or on your own personal website, right?
I have it on my website.
Yeah. So, you know, so we know that Amazon is this huge distributor for us, regardless of what you think about, you know, the owners of Amazon and how they treat their employees and all that. It is the biggest distributor for our independent books. So if you can't put it on there and you're selling it yourself, how is that working? Is that working out better, worse? You know, what is that process?
Because I'm not great with, like, I'm on Facebook. I'm present on Facebook and the Books of Horror groups and with my friends. But I'm not good with selling myself yet. I'm not. And when I get something new, I'll make a post about it. I'll make a post about it for a couple of days after that. So mine is more than word of mouth right now. And so far it worked because I've sold like pretty much every copy. And then I had to order more and I'm almost so done with those too. And I think a lot of my sales will come from conventions.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. I was curious about that.
Yeah.
All right. Have you done any like the Comic Paloozas or anything here in Houston? Any of those shows?
No, I've attended a few, but I haven't because I'm relatively new with the convention scene and being present as a vendor. I really haven't checked them out here in Houston yet.
Okay. Well, one thing that is coming up, just to put a bug in everyone's ear, Houston Horror Film Fest is about to announce another pop-up market before their big event in August. So they will be looking for vendors. If you're interested, I'll throw you up on the vendor feed so you can check it out and see what you think.
That'd be awesome. I don't think I've ever attended like a convention where I was there by myself. So far, it's been Scares at Care and it's been Texas AuthorCon, but I've been there with my book buddies. But I would do it. Like I'm shy, but then once I get there, I'm like, oh cool, hey, let's talk. So definitely please let me know.
Yeah, more than likely if it doesn't fall around Texas AuthorCon, I'll be there, I'm sure. Okay. Dicey and I try to at least go to be there to support the Horror Fest. Yeah. But one of us always tries. But then I've been recently doing a lot of book selling with Jay Mazur. So she and I may be having a table there. It just depends. You know, we have a bunch of different things coming up here in Houston.
Awesome.
Dicey, did you get your question answered, Mama?
I did. And I'm trying to figure out, why is your name labeled Shabtail? Renee,
that's because I'm old and I was typing this shit in my car in the dark. So y'all are talking to me because that's my new cooler name.
I love it. Are y'all originally from Houston?
Oh yeah, I am.
I didn't hear the question. What was the question?
Are you originally from Houston?
Oh, no, I'm originally from North Carolina. I came here in 2002. So, you know, I'm a Texan now. It's been 20 years, over 20 years. So, where are you from originally?
I'm from New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm glad to be in Houston, but I will always be a Louisiana boy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Most people who are from there, they always, I can't think of anybody that thinks that they become. Even if they live here, they don't ever say here. You know, it's always where they come from. For me, I have adapted Texas. That's how little I think of North Carolina.
I bet it's beautiful there, though. That's one thing I don't like about Texas. I love being surrounded by nature and trees and water. And like my family is from, well, they live in Slidell now, which is only about 30 minutes from New Orleans. And it's like nothing but swamps and bayous. So I miss that so much, but I bet North Carolina was very pretty as well.
Everybody says that. I probably just took it for granted because it was just, you know, what I saw every day, but everybody always says that. Yeah.
Nice.
How beautiful it is. Yeah. Chantel, was there another, you were ready for us to move on to another book?
Well, I had started talking to him about, and then if we can just go over it briefly again.
Yeah.
I was asking him about the book Unbortion.
Unbortion, yes.
And he was actually, I mean, we talked a little bit about it before, or I guess you should would say behind the scenes. Found it interesting enough that it's definitely something I think he should plug a little bit, especially on our show.
Awesome. So I was still on Chantel. I'm trying to get you guys' names.
Chantel.
Chantel. That like abortion. I like, I'm sure you know the movie It's Alive. It's one of my favorite movies. It used to creep me out as a kid. And another one, Trilogy of Terror, the little Zuni fetish doll. So anything small, like little babies, little creepy dolls, just creep me the hell out. So I was like, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to do It's Alive in the first trimester. And so that's how abortion came about. As I was writing it, I was like, I'm about to get murdered. Everybody's going to be like, why is some boy writing about abortions? And a lot of people said that, you know, it was propaganda or it was satire, making fun of it. And I was telling Chantel that it wasn't any of that. It was just me writing a story that I had never seen out there before. You may have some versions of something like that, but for me, it's very unique. And that I didn't put not a single ounce of my personal opinions into the story. Mm-hmm. But I've been getting, I get reviews sometimes saying that it was, you know, me trying to make fun of it or me trying to make some political statement. And it used to bother me, but eventually I had to kind of harden myself to that, because when I first got my first bad review, I was like, oh no, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But then I learned over my years that reading is completely subjective.
That's right.
I'm starting to learn that as a horror writer, if you don't have some bad reviews, you're not doing something right.
That's true too. And the ones that I thought was bad, I read over and I'm like, that's not a bad review. That's a fucking good review. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
people are going to take away whatever they want to take away from the story based on their personal opinions, based on their personal beliefs, their feelings on the subject, or maybe their some personal interactions they had with the subject. So I had to learn that those bad reviews and those negative comments are not directed to me as a person, and I shouldn't take it personally.
Yeah, and it is hard initially. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first start, and it is, you could get 10 people saying, man, I love that. That's my favorite story. And it'd be that one bad one that kind of set you off. You know, but you get used to it.
I was just talking to Candace Nola. She is such an amazing, I don't know if you guys have chatted with her yet, but she's so amazing. I was just asking her yesterday, does she read her reviews? And she was like, nope, sure don't. And I my silly ass, I wake up every day, going to Goodreads and going to Amazon to see if I got any more reviews and to see if anybody said anything. And I'm not going to do that anymore because
I stopped.
Goodreads. Yeah. Definitely not Goodreads. Those are always the worst.
Oh my God.
I wonder if people there really enjoy reading. They're so harsh.
Yeah, they're pretty harsh. I actually even had a friend of mine who was an author leave a review that messed up my 5-star, and I was like, bitch, I told her. I was like, did you mean to do that? Because that's really messed up of you. And she was like, I'll change it. And I'm like, you better, because I know where you live.
And then the worst ones is when my fucking book is 63 pages long and the review is like, damn, your review is longer than the book. So stupid.
People, you know, I'd be like, I would reply, if you want to write a book, you should just write one.
Just do it. Oh, wait, it takes everything I have not to be responding to people. But I will say I've learned not to. I've never done that because I'm not about to go back and forth with you because you feel this way about a certain thing. That ain't my problem. That's your personal.
And that's what people want. No, people that do stuff like that want that. Yeah.
When we were doing the Written and Read podcast, it was with Aaron Beauregard and Daniel Wolfe and Carver Pike. That was one of the things, like, don't feed the trolls. Don't feed into it and give them exactly what they want, because that is what they want. They want you to come back at them. And they want to start this whole freaking argument.
And they're not real horror fans, you know. They're just looking for something, to I mean, now that you've sold books that like Scares and Cares and stuff, you probably have realized like horror people are pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing is, you know the name of that book is Unborsion. You know what the damn
right.
is. Right. Why would you pick it up and start
that's
reading
right.
it?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. That's your fault. I didn't ask, you know, and not just my book, but other splatterpunk, extreme horror. Y'all know what y'all getting into.
Right.
If you just read a few reviews about John Anthony, you know his shit is out there and you're going to still pick it up and then give it a 1-star review because you was offended.
Right.
Yeah, so disgusting.
Well, on yeah. that, in that same vein, then, what is the best thing that someone has said about your book? Let's put that out there. Let's put out some good yeah. juice.
Somebody actually said that I made them rethink their views on abortion. And that's huge. Yes.
Yeah.
That was okay. probably one of my biggest ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, because we are, as creatives, you know, we're kind of bearing our souls in our yeah. work. And so that is why the negative reviews are going to stand out a little bit more. But just force yeah. yourself, if you're going to look at something, read over the positive ones over and over and over again. Let that sink in so that the yeah. others don't really seep into your subconscious and have you doubting yeah. yourself. It's already hard enough.
Yes. It is like, you know, I'm relatively new, 3 years writing now. I still have so much to learn. So when I read stuff like that, not that I'm about to let nobody knock me off my pedestal because I put myself up here. Yeah. I still got a lot to learn, but I'm also know in my heart that I'm doing my best and I'm putting it in the work and I'm not half stepping. I'm getting it edited. I'm spending the money for the cover art. So, you know, say what you got to say, but I'm still going to keep writing, no matter what you have to say.
Good for you, Roland. Good for you.
Thanks.
Speaking of cover art, what do you think about this AI art that people are talking about? I just saw something where authors were talking about using that kind of art, the AI art, for their cover.
Mm-hmm. Who was I talking to? I don't want to say names, but well, yeah, I'm sure he says it to Mike Duke. I think some of his stuff is AI generated. We are living in an age where if you don't keep up and you don't evolve, you're going to get left behind. I personally like having my cover art created by artists that know how to draw. And I like to have my input. So pretty much all my covers so far is exactly what I envisioned for the story.
Mm-hmm.
But that AI generated art, I'm all for it. If you think it looks good and you like the way your cover turned out, go for it. Everybody's different. There's going to be some people that use it and there's going to be some people that stick with old fashioned way. So
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw someone mentioning on Facebook that they were worried that AI-generated work was pulling other stuff that's copyrighted from someone else, you know, and kind of putting pieces together, and we might be getting into hairy copyright zones. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, though, you know, future. Because AI is certainly taking over, so something, you know. Like you said, you either get with the times or you get left behind.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's going to take away from the artists that have true talent and they're putting in the effort and hours creating these amazing cover arts. It's not going to affect them.
Right.
It may affect the people that half-heartedly do their covers or they don't. Spend the time doing it the right way. Yeah, it might affect those, but I think the people who are good at their job and they know how to draw and illustrate, they'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. What's your day job? Because you said, do you do writing full time yet?
I write at my job. Erin, on the podcast, Erin was like, "You gonna get fired, boy?" I'm like, "Fuck that job." I ain't trying to work for no medical assistant talking about shit and piss all day long. I work in the GI department, so that's all I hear. Somebody called it in. Oh, I got diarrhea. Somebody called it in. Oh, I'm constipated. You just giving me some food for thought. Let me go write a story.
So you get good story ideas.
Yeah,
all experiences are good experiences.
So I work as a medical assistant. I've been doing it for like, oh man, over 20 years, 25 years. Mm-hmm. But the fun thing is, like, and that, I guess that goes to show, to tell, that tells you a lot about me. Like, so I've been with this one doctor about 12 years, but about 4 years ago, I was playing around. I was like, ooh, a flight attendant job. I'm gonna apply for it. Didn't think nothing was gonna happen because I always wanted to be a flight attendant. So I applied for the job. I got a call and went to an interview and I was like, oh, they're not gonna call me back. And I got a second call for the second interview. They called me and told me I got the job while I was at work. I hung up that phone. I went in my doctor's office. I was like, I'm gonna give you my 2 weeks notice. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, sorry, I got a job as a flight attendant. It's something I always wanted to do. It's international. I'm sorry, I gotta go. So I quit a job that I was comfortable with, a job that I've been at. I'm making pretty decent money because I've been there so long.
Right.
And I was scared as hell because for the flight attendant job, you have to go to Miami for 2 months and train, and you gotta take tests every week, and if you get less than an 80 on the test, they send your ass back home. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't been in school in so many years. I graduated in 1988. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm home one day and Sean comes in. He was like, I'm crying. He was like, why are you crying? I was like, what if I go to Miami and I fail the test and then they send me back home? He was like, well, then don't go. I was like, what are you saying? I'm going. I passed all the tests. Training was amazing. My first flight was to Africa. And so I was with the airline like 9 months. Then the doctor that I worked with called me and he was like, hey, how you doing? How you like your new job? And I was like, I like it. He's like, you want to have dinner? And I was like, oh man, you about to ask me to come back. Sure enough, he was like, it's been a mess since you've been gone. He said, if you want, I'm gonna make it worth your while to come back. Sure enough, he gave me something that I wasn't expecting. So I went back to being a medical assistant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, I was really excited making my best friend. I was going to get a ticket.
So it was just such a, just like my writing career, it was something that I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but yeah, it was something I wanted to do. And yeah, I did it, and it was badass, and it was amazing. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I could write a book, and I did it, and it's been badass and amazing. So
yeah,
I'm batting a thousand. I feel good.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like there's some principles in there, just based on the things that I've been learning over the last few years about manifesting and about over getting past limiting beliefs. And what I'm hearing from you is you had such a lack of resistance, like. You have the roll, you throw in the dice, you roll it, you there's something you want to do. I heard you say that a couple of times. It was just something I wanted to do. So you went after it. So the resistance part I hear has not been a hang up for you. So do you think that's been a part of why things are just, you are trusting the process? Like some of us, we're having to reprogram ourselves and think, trust the process. But it sounds like you are there. You already have that. And you're walking in that trust in the process and it's all going to work out.
Yeah. And I really honestly believe that. Like, I feel there's nothing I can't accomplish.
Uh-huh.
I didn't prove that to myself. And I keep proving it to myself every day that I get up and I write another line. It takes me a hell of a long time to write a story. I am not a fast writer. But I write 5 sentences. I'm like, yeah, I'm writing. I'm super pumped.
That's great. Because I don't think we've ever had anyone on the show that really gives that perspective like that. You know what I mean? So that's good because Dicey and I are definitely been keep at it. It's gonna happen. You just gotta keep doing it and trust yourself. And now here you are, living proof. You just gotta hit ground with your feet going and know. You know.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love that. So what's your goal What's I guess we could start to wind it down, but where do you see yourself? I guess a good way to say that is, where do you see yourself in 5-10 years? You know, like, what's your ultimate goal?
To not have to work for the man, like it is. I don't want to have to go into that job every day, making that doctor richer and richer and richer over here, making a little money here and there, but I'm still scraping compared to what he did. So
yeah,
my end goal is to support myself with my writing, continue to put out stories that I think are unique and fun and interesting, and it's going to entertain people. I want one of my books, if not more, to be made into a movie. I think Unabortion would be a hell of a remake for It's Alive. I actually sent Jordan Peele a message on Instagram. I don't know what I was thinking. You know what I was thinking? I was like, he might read this message and he might be like, let me call this crazy ass boy back and see what he's talking about. I sent him a message. I sent him a free audiobook. I was like, this will be a great remake of It's Alive. If you're ever interested, please message me. You never know.
Yes, like, why not?
Why not? Shit, I might get a message from Jordan Peele one day. So yeah, I would love to see one of my books on a big screen. Then I'm also getting out of Houston and back to Louisiana.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, you know what?
I know it'll happen for you, I think.
Yeah, your belief in yourself makes me believe in you. I believe you're gonna have everything you just said you're gonna have. Roland, thank you so much for coming on with us and having a chit chat, because we broke this up into two parts. I'm not even sure what our ultimate time is, to be honest. I'm looking at we're winding down, but tell everybody where they can follow you. And I know your website is RolandBurseyJr.com, but, you know, plug whatever you want to plug. Everybody make sure you go see him at Texas AuthorCon, July 14th through 15th in Dallas. So what else do you want to plug and your socials, Roland?
So yeah, just hit me up on Facebook. If y'all are ever interested, just even if you want to say hi, send me a message. You just want to chat, send me a message, because I'm good. Hey, there you are. Facebook, I have Instagram, I don't really use it. I have Twitter, but you don't want to hit me up there, because no telling what you're gonna see. I got a few projects that I'm working on. I'm so excited. I have a story in Ooze called Dr. Parasite with that Ruth Ann Evans put together. So Dr. Parasite is actually a small snippet of a full-length novella that I'm working on, and so far it promises to be my longest one yet. So it's a lot of fun. It's gross, it's gory. And then I have three other projects that's going to be coming out soon, some collaborations with people. I don't want to say too much about it, because no one said anything yet. But yeah, hit me up, send me a message. I love chatting. I'm here, and thank you guys. Y'all have been like super amazing to talk to. I appreciate you so much. I don't have the words.
Absolutely. It's been a privilege and an honor. I hate that our camera situation has been in and out, but hopefully the audio turns out great so everybody can hear the delicious conversation we've had. So see you soon. I think Chantel is going to get in touch with you regarding the thingy that we're...
We'll get together. We'll do something. That'll be great.
I'm excited. Yeah, please. We're so close. Why not? We'll have a good time, guys.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. Welcome.
Have a great night.
You can't see me, but I'm blowing this one.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe
and join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.